Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Aurukahpuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our generation's team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome to Generations Radio and good morning to everybody. It's Sunday morning. We're here at Friday, though, taping a show with our cover story from the April-May issue, Miss Carolee Nishi. Welcome to the radio show, Carolee. How are you?
First of all, I want to thank you for having me on. I mean, it's kind of a different kind of a thing that I usually do, so it's kind of interesting.
Well, I've known about you for many, many years, actually. You know, I belong to the Y.
Oh,
and we've done a cover story on the former CEO, Michael Broderick, many years ago, and then Lisa Antai, their marketing person, actually a personal friend of mine. Her husband's in my fraternity. And I've heard about you. She brought your name up many years ago. You know, we only do 6 covers a year. So when we decide on covers, we already do a lot of, we did a lot of Hawaiiana stuff in, during those years. But I always had you in my back pocket. And I thought about you for years. And I actually met your daughter, Robin, who's in a magazine several years ago when she was at KHON. Mm-hmm. And thought this would be a nice time. And Wendy brought up your name because she's doing Keiki Hula.
Sure.
Wendy Sweet is our writer for the story. But thank you for allowing us to tell your story. You know, I'm around town quite a bit. I do a lot of speaking engagements for senior things, and it's amazing how many people know you. You ever get calls from people that say, "Hey, I saw your story"?
You know, it's funny that you say that because I'm so involved all the time and I don't even have a minute. And it was worse when I was in Kauai flying back and forth and rushing to school and then rushing to, you know, wherever I needed to go. I don't think I was out in the public as much as people think I was. Mm-hmm. And when they say, "Oh, do you know somebody that teaches hula?" And I go, I really don't know too many of the hula teachers or, you know, the community because I don't have that lead time to go and meet people mm-hmm. unless, you know, like Guy last year was really, really kind to bring all the teachers together. And interestingly, when they awarded me the Like Like Award, I was thinking, wow, you don't have to do anything and you can get an award. but it was very nice. And I think now, since Guy had taken over, I've actually met a lot more people. And he's put me in situations where I can meet people, you know. You can't meet them at the airport and you can't teach them anything in school. You know, these are the things I, surrounded-wise, never was on the outside.
Well, I always have a box of magazines in my car and I was doing a training at one of the banks. They go, "Oh, she's my client. I love her," you know. And then I dropped off a box at Launa Kila Senior Center, retired Senator Susie
yes,
Chung,
that's
Oakland.
My cousin, yeah.
Yeah, the cousin. So I dropped out the box, and I went inside, and she wasn't around, and she was busy in a meeting, and I went back to my car. I was ready to leave. She's running out of this Launa Kila Senior Center. He goes, wait. Thank you so much. That's my cousin on your cover there.
Yeah.
I said, "You related to Carolee?" He goes, "Yes." So she was very thankful, and you know, it was amazing. It's amazing. Almost every week I'll run to somebody goes that knows you. You know, not only from your hula group, but just from your time at work and time at the YMCA. You know, I belong to the YMCA and people have mentioned you. So it's just amazing that you inspired a lot of people, you know.
Well, I think my, you know, kind of born and raised here, you know, whether it's from Kailua or Kalihi or in different places that I've, you know, lived, you meet all kinds of people. And then because, you know, if somebody I've been taught, says hello to you or smiles, you never say, "I don't know who he is." You smile back and you start holding a conversation and you don't even know what, you know, the other person is, you know, in that sense. But it's good because you get to know people.
Yeah.
And it's good that way. I do like to bring the community together. And just last week, a friend of mine said, "Oh, I don't think I'll come because I don't know anybody." I said, "That's crazy. I mean, in your older age, you don't need to know anybody, but that's why you're coming." You know, you miss the point. And it's better if you don't know anybody, then you can just, you know, find yourself anew to a different kind of a group of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
You know, it's interesting when I work with seniors and I meet seniors, I would like to find out their backstory. Mm. And I was when Wendy wrote your story and you found out that you worked at United Airlines for how many years? 40 years?
41.
41 years. So you were back in the day when flight was still relatively, not, I wouldn't say new, but United Airlines has been here a long time.
We just bought out Capital Airlines when I started.
Oh, wow.
And I worked in a position in San Francisco. I didn't start here in the islands.
Oh.
Yeah, when my husband was drafted in the Army, then my mother wanted me to come home because I was alone. Not really, but she, no family, but I had a lot of friends in United. Of course, I was going to be okay, but she insisted I come home. And it was that time when, I came back we were in the mainland for a good 8-9 years.
Really?
Yeah, in San Mateo, California.
Well, that's a nice area, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, outside. So, and you also worked at Liberty House for several years.
That's really silly. For a few years, I would say just about that time, I didn't drive and I didn't have a car.
Uh-huh.
So Ron would drop me off at Wilson. I would walk to Liberty House, right down Kahala.
Oh, Kahala.
And then my girlfriend would pick me up at 7 o'clock and I would drive me to United Airlines, where I worked all night.
Really?
And she being in the same area. That was actually was Nephi Hanneman's wife, Kathy Hanneman. She would take me home because she lived, on Lunalilo home, and I was kind of on the way. So it worked out. I mean, I didn't even have a problem. It was no scheduling problem, same old thing, And then weekends, I didn't work at United because I had enough seniority to hold a weekend schedule.
Oh.
And school. There was no school. So right. People think, how did you do it? And I was thinking, it wasn't even a problem.
Well, you did all your volunteer work. Boy, you had a busy schedule back then, raising, two kids?
I'm sorry, what was that?
You're busy working during a weekday and doing volunteering and raising kids as well.
Yeah, and I think my husband was a very good father. I realized, actually, when my son was a senior in high school, I was volunteering at Kaiser, too, to do Hawaiian studies.
Oh, high school?
Yeah, high school. And the girl who was in charge of it was an old student. Oh. So I said, oh, yeah, sure, Tracy, I'll be down. Driving in there, and then this gal, Laurie Young, I don't know if you know Laurie, she says, oh, I just saw Trevor on the road. And I went, really? So I jumped back in my car, and I drove. And when we were close to New Valley, where he worked at the service station, I thought, oh, there he is. I can pick him up. I'm such a good mother. So I, Trevor. And he looks at me. He didn't even try to get in the car. And I go, I'll take you to work. And he said, I'll never forget this. Mom, it's right over there. He had walked the whole way.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's good. I mean, even he had good habits. And, you go to work whether you have a ride or whether you're sick, mm-hmm. And he kind of ran the station there. And, yeah, he did well. But talk about raising children. It's kind of hard to know if you're really there as much as you should be.
Yeah.
But I only have two children, and they're both very good people.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can look back and say, how did we raise them? I have a friend named Dr. Ackerman at Punahou, and he sat me down and he said, Robin is such a wonderful child and yada, yada. And he says, could you really, I'm going to take notes. Can you tell me how you raised her? No one really knows, you don't have a plan. You just go day to day.
Well, the proof is in the pudding, as they say, when you come out and they're successful in their private lives and your grandchildren. So you've done a great job. For those of you just tuned in, we're here with Carolee Nishi from our April-May cover story for Generations Magazine. Don't forget, you can also go back to our website, generations808.com, and check out the past issues. She's in April-May. The June-July issue will be coming out very shortly, by the way. But yes, all our past radio shows like this one will be on our website, along with our webinars that's hosted by Rick Tabor, our Community Relations Director. But yeah, check all those out, our calendar as well. Pass on our link, generations808.com, so all your friends and neighbors. So it's a resource website that's got a tremendous amount of resources. All the resources that we've done in our 11 years and all our past cover stories are there, all our past radio shows. So check that out. Look for the topics you're interested in and just click on that and good to go. So I appreciate all of you that have our followers out there and our listeners and viewers for our webinars. It's been a great time for the magazine as we all age in life. Carolee, I you know, you're in the 70s, right? I just turned 61, like
77.
Well, you're in great shape.
Almost 78.
Well, I work with seniors specifically with my day job, the reverse mortgage, and it's amazing, you know, for me to think I'm 61 now. And I was telling my wife last week that, man, next year we can collect Social Security. And it's just hard to imagine thinking like that, even though I've been doing this for going on 20 years. But what keeps you going, by the way? You have so much energy. I mean, people can tell just by talking to you. What keeps you going?
I think if you have something to do, you need to accomplish it. Uh-huh. I don't ever plan anything. People say, can you do this? Can you do that? And I'll just say, sure, sure, sure. You know, I find that no matter, I never think of a task as difficult. Uh-huh. And if it might seem difficult to you, then it might be a challenge to me. But I find that you can almost do anything if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, I mean that's a great segue to your hula group, Huio Kupunahala.
Huio Kupunahala, yeah. We started in Kaneohe.
That's what I was going to say. Kupunahala is an area in Kaneohe.
But I was not even going to start a hula group. That was not my forte.
Oh, yeah?
But I worked with a person who was in the red carpet room at United, Masako Murakami, and she said she wanted me to teach her daughter. And I said, oh, you know, there's so many hula studios here, you know, I don't know that. She says, well, she kind of liked my style. And so I thought, okay, I'll teach Sherry. Sherry had a neighbor on both sides and one in the front across the street in the back. So the five star, there were five girls that started.
Really?
Yeah. And within a year, we went to Expo 70.
Expo 70, where was that at?
Osaka.
You went to Japan?
Within
a year?
With our kids, you know, with the five-star group and her son. And we danced at the World's Fair in Osaka.
Wow.
Expo 70. But we knew nothing about world fairs, and we didn't know the impact that it would bring. Well, if you think about today.
Yes.
And you know how popular hula is.
Oh, it's
huge. It was
huge.
Just about starting in 70. So that we had to be very careful. And then they called their security because they were coming on stage to just hug us. Kids were really little. You know, they weren't 5, 6 years old. And so they were cute.
Really? That young?
Well, Masako being with United, and I was with United, we knew airline ways and
knew what
to do and how to get places. And so it wasn't a real big planning session.
Hmm.
My father-in-law was the commissioner general.
Really?
And I told him about it, and he says, yeah, you can, I'll arrange it, you know. So even that made it easier.
Hmm.
Okay, so we spent 3 days and did what little we knew, Hawaiian war chant and moku kiakahi, and they were all instrumental bamboo kind of numbers. And so they found that very fascinating.
Huh.
I was very scared after they started to maul the kids, and I just lost control.
Wow.
So, and I didn't speak Japanese. You know, I have a Nishi name.
But you're how much Hawaiian?
I don't even have any Japanese.
You have any? How much Hawaiian do you have in you?
I don't even know what we have there. But my, you know, we always go back and forth, you know, and so everybody says, did you ever think of taking a DNA or anything like that? But my father's father came from China, and my father's mother came from Kau.
Oh.
And Suzanne Chun's brother is a historian. And he's way up here in genealogy and everything. So we have a big book, and I suppose if I needed to spend some time, we could really find out what we really are.
But what got you? I mean, did you have a hula, a kumu hula yourself, or how did you learn how to do the hula?
No, actually, it wasn't meant to be. And people always say that, my God, you don't even have that lifelong background.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was about 12, 13 years old, I worked at, my uncle and my mom had a Simon stand at the International Marketplace.
Wow.
And at 5 o'clock, this lady would come in and make the dashi and put all the little noodles in the plate. And my sister and I would take over. Just pour the soup in and throw the garnishes, 25 cents. And then the meat sticks were 10 cents. That would be telling you my age. But nevertheless, we worked it very, very seriously.
Wow.
And we met everybody. I mean, think about these kids dancing in the marketplace. And I could tell you, I could sing the song, like, yeah. I mean, it was like that every day. I could sing the songs. John P. Lenny Watkins was a choreographer. They're all gone now. The two dancers, they're hula teachers today.
Wow.
And then there was a fellow named Kimo. He was the sword dancer and everything, but he was pure Chinese. And, of course, right after that, Don Ho moved into the marketplace.
Oh.
You know, but these were people who would come to our Simon stand and, you know, Martin Denny, we knew.
Piano player.
They're all, you know, the Kim boy. And then Jake has a group called A Pure Heart.
Right.
And one of the boys there, his father was part of Martin Denny group too.
Oh, really?
And so it was like a next generation that we mm-hmm. met. Mm-hmm. But of course, that next generation is much younger than me. But we knew the older people, you know, like Martin Denny's group there, and I was exposed to a lot of that. You know, there was a guy named Ron Jacobic, and he was a singer, and then they did this happy, you know, happy talk from mm-hmm. South Pacific. And those kids who were in the movie, they also worked right in the back where Don Ho's place was.
Oh, really?
Was.
Wow.
But it wasn't named a Don Ho show until he came on. I don't even remember what it was. Just the marketplace, very popular.
Right,
it was booked
back
every
in the day.
Night. Back in the day, yeah. But all these old timers that were there, they were all our buddies because right after the show, you want to sign in? You want two, three, how many? and you know, we were just really close to them. And they were all the entertainers.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, you don't really consider yourself your group a halal. It's just a hula group.
I've never used that word, you know, because I did have halal means to be blessed. A little bit more ritual in Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely I wouldn't take the kids to the beach and have them wear their whites. And I had been there because I was with a group at that time. And it was all foreign to me, but we were blessed. But I didn't feel at all that I would even start to say we were there. So we just started as a club.
And I know with this pandemic time, you're doing virtual Zoom lessons. But where do you actually have an actual area that you do teach the class at? Was it at the YMCA or is that another facility?
No. I started with Honganji.
Oh.
Because my father-in-law was with the church, and he asked me if I would go down there. And I was a volunteer, and they charged $9 a month.
Wow.
And we just
grew and grew and
in
grew.
In no time, it was a big group.
All of ages, too, right?
No. At that time at YBA, there was only this Kapunahala group.
Oh.
You know, my five stars right there.
Uh-huh.
And I should mention this, but one of the girls, which was neighbor to Mrs. Murakami, is Dale Nakadishi, and her sister is now kind of the VP or human resources. And she's about 60, and she said, "Wow, Carolee, I taught her when she was like this."
Oh, really?
She goes, I've come full circle. I'm now working the same place you are. And we're very close because we feel like we've been, you know, 60 years in the making, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah. But the community is so small, only in Hawaii.
Right.
You say, what school did you go to? What year did you graduate from? Oh, do you know so-and-so?
Oh, it happens every day.
Happens.
I was golfing with some guy yesterday. I said, oh, do you go to Punahou? He goes, no, my daughter goes to Punahou. He's wearing a Punahou hat, you know. Another guy, he was a big guy, like, oh, are you related to this family? Because you look like my friend's son. And he goes, no. It's everywhere you go, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because I get it all the time, but I didn't, you know, my family were involved with the school, but my sister and I went to Roosevelt.
Oh.
English Standard, I was right at the break. You know, they cut it off because now everybody was district and everybody could
right.
go there. Yeah, but same teachers, same books, everything. So I was the first year that they cut off English Standard.
Oh, really?
How do you do? But I think we had a good education.
Yeah. I mean, Roosevelt, I live a couple blocks from Roosevelt, and I pass by there quite a bit every week, every day. And they've done great work out there. I have a couple of friends. I saw my friend last night. His wife works there. But they've done a good job. But so you probably taught several hundred, if not thousands of kids in these, all these years, and adults mm-hmm. now, right? You're teaching adults now, right?
Yes, now we teach everybody. In fact, a couple, my daughter is really into the Zoom, yeah, every day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, kupunas, you know, and Kiki's like Liko, we call is a bud, Liko Lehua.
Okay.
She teaches kids that are just 2.5, 3 years old, but I did that when we were at the Y.
Wow.
But I don't see them. We're not really in person anymore.
Right.
Because of the pandemic, of course. However, Robin teaches them, and they're really doing well. In
yeah.
fact, better than I could ever even imagine. She's very good about, the one thing we do, you'll find that when you raise kids, whether they're foreign or whether they're relatives or anybody, you can never criticize them.
Kids.
Never. Yep. You can say it in a nice way, you know, instead of slamming the door, next time, just softly do it, you know? You don't say, stop, you know, things like that. You can't be negative with them because they don't understand.
Well, I think the kids today are different. You know, when we grew up, when you grew up, I'm sure it was a little bit different, right?
Yeah, you got the paddle. But I think we've learned that because now, years later, I mean, like 3 years ago, I had kids on all schools, and I was kind of like maybe talking too much and saying, oh, you know, the Winnekees and Punahou and then Macy and Emma, they're Rose, and they're all valedictorians, 11 of them, all different schools,
yeah.
Kamehameha and everything. And then the little girl passed me and she goes, Auntie, and I said, yeah, she says, I went to Pearl City and I was a valedictorian too. And that was my Miss Katie White, who's now in, you know, Arizona, and they're all doing well. But I think if you can go through any program successfully with good people backing you up, whether it's kupunas or just little older hula sisters, I think you have that quote-unquote confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I think I never realized that. I don't even know. I never stopped when I was teaching. I just knew I had to be there on time and,
right.
you know, go to the end, hold it, extra sessions. People have problems. You stay and you help them, whether it's financial or psychological. You know, you just keep being there for them. And I think maybe they always had a home. You know, when they came in from college,
mm-hmm.
I have a friend named Sherlyn Fukuji. She actually teaches with me. She's my partner. But she would arrive. She went to the University of Santa Clara, arrived from the airport straight to the Y. You know, and
yeah.
that's what they did. You know, they want to see us before they even go home. And that was a nice thing for me. I mean, but I think all through the years, you talk about 40 when he was at United. I mean, it's as many 50 years plus
wow.
53
yeah.
years now at the Y. You don't think about that. You just think you just got to keep going. There's so much to do.
You well, know? What's amazing is I coached my son in baseball for many years, and I don't coach him anymore now, but just dealing with younger kids and how to keep their attention, how you get them to do what you want them to do and train them. And, you know, some kids are there because their parents want them. They don't want to be there. How do you do that?
It's a challenge. It really is. And, you know, I think the best way to do it is, and I think is, you try to win people's trust. I have these two Suganuma girls who are, I think, I know that Kavena's an attorney, and I know that Pele is with her immersion school in Hilo and doing very well. They traveled with me at 2 years old.
Wow.
They were able to go to the Orient, Japan, Hong Kong, Korea, Bangkok.
Wow.
And you know, I would never be able to get a parent to let me do that, even if they're 5 years old today. And yet, you know, her mom and dad had no problem. But that must, as I look back, it was trust. They trusted you.
Yeah.
And I think you have to work really hard when you're with a big organization, because lots of it has to do with money. And that's where I was lucky. I never handled money, right?
Yes.
It all went to the Y.
Right.
I mean, some of the people that worked for the Y and handled the money got in trouble, but I never. But I looked back and I thought, wow, I was really lucky. You know?
Well, that's a great time. I mean, it's an amazing story. We're here with Carolee Nishi, our April-May cover story lady. And if you want to check it out, please do go to generations808.com. And you look under past issues there, or browse issues. on a tab, the second tab to the left, and you'll find all our past issues. But it's a wonderful story. Carolee, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be coming right back. So guys, stick around. We'll be right back.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
Complete 4 and 5 night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.
Okay, we're back here on Generations Radio. I am Percy E. Howard, your host here, every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. And by the way, if you're at home and you do not have a radio like myself, you can go on the internet to hawaiistream.fm, and you can listen on your computer, or if you have Spectrum, you can go to dial to 883, and you can listen on your TV. Because I actually do it quite a bit when I'm at home, when my wife says, can we not listen to sports all day long? So, okay, all right. So we'll put it on a channel. We'll watch. You know, I have to admit, it is quite a bit, especially with my son. And the Dodgers in a baseball season. So, but yeah, HawaiiStream.fm or go to Spectrum 883. And if you're on Hawaiian Tel, please email or call me, because I don't know what channel they have. And I don't even know if they do have at Hawaiian Tel. Not to give them a knock or anything, but it's kind of important. We can provide this information, talk about Carolee's story. And like I said, HawaiiGenerations808.com, our Facebook page, just search Generations Magazine. And our webinars, by the way, are the third Wednesday of every month, hosted by Rick Tabor, our Community Relations Director. It's in the magazine, by the way. So we do these every month. Probably by August, we'll probably do two or three a month. They're very, very popular. Rick does a great job. And it's very informational. And we talk about Medicare, stress management for seniors, exercise. Dementia is a huge, huge topic. So check those out. And you can also go online to see those on our website as well. But thanks to 101.1 and George here, it is a very well listened to radio channel. It's almost every day when it's amazing. Because I'm around a lot of guys, you know, almost every time they go, yeah, I listen to your radio show every morning, or your commercial's on every morning. It's like, oh, great. But then pass it on to your friends, family, neighbors, people from church, your Hula group, because we cover a lot of great information. And thanks to the Bar Association, who I worked with just the other day, we trained about 38 attorneys about aging, and it's amazing. This affects everybody. But, you know, we're here with Carolee Nishi. Carolee, do you exercise? Do you work out? How do you stay so young and so much? He has so much energy.
No, I was having a hard time going all the way up and coming.
Why don't you walk up the street twice? So,
no, I don't. I cannot say that I'm an avid, you know, trainer or you know, even though the YMCA has great.
They
you
do.
Know, they have the machines and everybody comes. I don't have the time because I can barely get all my work done. You know, and then I guess. Go in my office, I throw everything there, and I just walk out. No, I don't. In fact, probably what I did today was what I should be doing every day.
Exercise. You know? Walking is great for you at the minimum.
Yeah. And I think, you know, saying and talking about that, I think people within the age of maybe 35 or 40, they should start developing a habit to do this. Because it's too old. I mean, it's too late when you get old. You got to start young and get into that habit, you know.
Yeah, I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day. I was at a golf course somewhere, and on the street, on outside the golf course, there's a bunch of people walking there, and they were quite big. And I think, man, that must be hard on the knees and the joints. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it. But yeah, I thought to myself, yes, we need to start doing it in the 30s or 40s, if not earlier, and make it a habit and make it a routine, make it a lifestyle. Because that's one thing I found out about the why. And, you know, I play a lot of golf and softball, but the swimming has been one of my things. You know, if you'd asked me when I was in my 20s and 30s, I would not have swam. Because I don't like water getting in my ears. And I don't like swimming where you come up for air every time. So actually, Moon Physical Therapy, Julie Moon over there, told me, you know what, you should try it. Because I had two shoulder surgeries 9 years ago. You should swim. I said, I don't like swimming. I don't like getting water in my ear. And he goes, no, just get a goggle and mask. You don't have to come up for air. And to this day, I swim at the Y. And Y, by the way, is a really good app on your phone. Y can register the time when I want to swim. Of course, you got to get in kind of fast, but there's only six lanes at the pool, but it's really efficient. It's fantastic. So kudos to the YMCA for the app. In fact, I was telling one of the lifeguards, I say, are they going to do this after the pandemic is over? I sure hope so. It's so much easier to do instead of coming and waiting for a lane at the pool. But I know you're there quite a bit. You're teaching now at the YMCA?
We're supposed to. We did start, and then there were a lot of little obstacles, you know. So actually, we've been going to 999 Wilder, which is the
condominium.
Yes, and it's a very beautiful place. They have a nice rec center.
Yes.
One of our students, Warren Higa, has been more than gracious to let us use their rec room. And I think we're spoiled. As soon as I get back to the Y, I'm going to tell our, you know, branch executive that we need to update all of our chairs and put in the kitchen. But yeah, all joking aside, my kupunas who come every Thursday, they are just so happy. You know, and we have two of our, they've been there since they were in their 60s. What happened was when the school teachers started to retire, that's when they signed up. So some of them are 92, 94 right now.
Really?
Yes. And yesterday they both came, and they're very fine. You know, and I, one of my friends, her name is Lorraine Mao, she had a walker with her, and then she sat down, and then she wanted to go and get a book, and she just got up and she started walking over there. And so then she came to me with her walker, and I said, I saw you walking over there without your walker. But, you know, I don't think that the family would like that because you don't want to fall, right? That's the big thing.
Right.
But anyway, they're still going strong. And, you know, my friend Laura Kitamura, whose husband was Richard with Farrington Athletic Director, baseball player and everything.
Yes.
She's not even.
He was my coach, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
He was my baseball coach at Mid-Pack.
Oh, wow. Yes, because they even named it that little Dick park Kitamura, in front. Dick Kitamura Park, yeah.
And
yeah.
His two sons, Galen and David, I know.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, Laura's a very, very close friend of mine.
Oh, good.
You know? And she, I think, is 92 right now.
Yeah, got to be around there. But tell her Percy from Mid-Pack baseball team.
Yeah. I'll make her
tune
in.
He was my coach.
We'll tune in on Sunday.
Yeah, you should.
That's better yet.
They're in the 90s and they're dancing.
They're all 90s, yeah.
Wow.
And then the large part of them are 80s.
Wow.
So I'm really young.
They're older than you, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I know three Mike Wongs, and I most recently a fellow who was with the university, he and Bev Wong, and they told me how old they were, and I went, oh gosh, you're too young. But if you're in your 60s, and there's a bunch of United people that kind of signed up for a beginning, but they're on their way. However, I think it's the best thing to do. Music, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they don't sing as much as I'd want them to sing, but maybe I'm so involved in, you know, the music theory of ukulele and guitar and bass or whatever that I don't teach them to sing. But most recently I said, okay, I'm going to do a song where I sing, you answer me, boo, poo, and they got to go, ah, oh, Eva, ikanu, ah, kanaka, whatever. And they can do that because they're old timers, right? They heard the song. But she has this thing that we always publish a book. And just 2 days ago, I went to Kinko's and we put this book together. But the cost of what they charge me is a little bit more than what I charge.
Oh, yeah?
However.
So this is a song book?
Yeah, it's all Hawaiian songs.
Wow.
But you know what the interesting part is? Always get this. The liner notes is kind of a nice thing to have. But this is
the story behind a song?
This is the winner. Because now people would ask me,
how do I
know how to sing it? If you just put out words. So, and I used to record for them. But now, got the whole score, all the
notes.
So
you can buy this book?
Well, we're not sure. I mean, Wendy and I are going to get together and we're going to talk about... I have a friend, you know, that would Xerox it, and then we'd put it in a binder, not like this, but in a real folder with classic inserts.
We're talking about a Hula Hui o Punahala's, what do you call it? It's a songbook or...
Yeah, it's just
a book of lyrics and words.
Yeah, it says Kapuke Hawaii. Puke is a book.
Oh, okay.
And you always, in Hawaiian, you always say a pua is a flower. You don't say red flower. You say flower red. So, you know, pua nani, beautiful flower. You know, like pua pikake or whatever, you know. That's the way. But this is just a songbook. It's just a simple songbook.
It's a great songbook celebrating a 50th anniversary. But you have the liner notes. And then you have here this is information about the songs.
Oh, yeah. Liner notes are important. Notes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. I think we've never, only our students have it. But when people had seen it, well, we had a little problem when I was in Kauai. Somebody just blotted out my name and then made copies and sold it.
Well, it might be a great fundraising tool for you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But I was reading your article, your story that Wendy wrote for the magazine, and you are a 2020 Honpan Hongwanji, the mission's Living Treasure honoree last year.
That was very kind of them to, you know, recommend me. I think my friend Ginny Young and kind of promoted that, and it's nice. I mean, I'm glad that my friends think a little bit well of me instead of, you know, anything negative. But she promoted that and got the YMCA people to stand behind it. And interestingly, they accepted it right away and called me one day when I was rushing home from the parking lot. I thought, well, can I call you back because I'm driving? And then I decided to park the car and they said, well, we want to explain to you that, you know, you've been selected as a living treasure and we want to know if you'll accept that. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, that would be fine.
Well, you're still alive, right?
But it's killing me, but...
But that's what they did a special last week, actually, on TV, right? And it was about living treasures, so they honor you while you're still alive.
Right. And you know, my friend Barbara Vlachos called me right away, and she said, Carolee, I just saw your picture. You want to turn it to channel, you know? And I thought, oh, I'm not even home. But then by the time I got home, it was all over. So, you know, I probably have to look it up and see. I don't know what it was about. But, yeah, it was interesting because I took Hawaiian language as soon as I enrolled with I enrolled with University of Hawaii my first year.
Oh.
Larry Kimura, trying to get the class together. Very, very, it was 1961, a long time ago. Hawaiian language was not popular.
No.
At all.
No.
We couldn't, I mean, I don't know from Larry's point of view whether it was hard to get it started. I did listen to him when he did Talk Story with Wilcox, Leslie, but I didn't hear the background on how he got it started. But my first year when I was at Living Treasures, I said, that's my Hawaiian studies teacher. And my first semester, he gave me a D.
Really? Did you tell him that? Do you remember that?
No, you know, the crazy thing was, after I spoke and he spoke and then, you know, Robert Casimiro did his speech, we had to sit down in front of everybody right on the top of the stage.
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't nice to talk. And so I said to him, give me a D. And he looked back at me. I don't remember ever. I couldn't have given you a D. I said, yes, you did.
But you kept going, though.
There were some boys that were sitting with the Casimiro table that were students of mine in their young days, but I guess they're dancers today. You know, they've come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when I said, but look what I did with my D, and they started to yell. Yeah, I had no intention at that time. I was a hula dancer,
uh-huh.
You know.
Where did you learn hula from?
You know, I was at Mamo Hula Studio in Kaimuki on Ocean View. And she was one of two dancers that were taught by Aggie Auld.
Aggie Auld,
was the Royal Hawaiian dancer in the real old days.
Come on, Mama Howell?
No, related, but Aggie Auld, A-U-L-D. Oh. She was the Royal Hawaiian dancer. Yeah, I knew Mama as another, you know, because of the manufacturing. And
I knew her, that's the reason why.
Yeah, my family is kind of more into tailoring, you know, than they are into music. So, you know, but yeah, Mama was a good friend, and she did a lot of, you know, dancing. She was the dancer when I was at the marketplace.
Really?
Yeah, and she was one of them that we met when we, you know, after, you know, your Simon stop. Yeah, and so, but anyway, going back to, you know, the old days, there weren't many hula studios. If you can imagine 70 years ago, Alama sisters, Leilani and Puanani Alama, Mikey Ayu was very popular. Mm-hmm. There was a fellow named Kent Gerard, and he was more professional. My sister's very good friend, Rosie Alvaro, she's not with us anymore, was a dancer for Kent Gerard, and they did a lot of promotions. Then she became that, what was, you know, in the old days we had a girl that represented Hawaii at Hawaii Visitors Bureau,
mm-hmm.
and Rosie was the one with all the orchids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Everybody knows that picture. But, and then there was a friend of my sister and knew two girls that were very involved. The other person was Sally Fo, and she took from the Beamers. But you could just name all the hula teachers in those days.
Yeah, you can,
there
yeah.
weren't very many.
Yeah.
Now you have to, you know, look up 10 pages and try to figure out where your district is, and, you know, which is nice. Because it enhances the culture.
It really does. It's really, we support Hawaiian a lot. Our art director, Wilson Angel, Deborah Lorden on Maui, one of our writers, we do a story like this every year, at least one of the 60s issues. We cover some kind of Hawaiiana. And we had one of my favorites was having the paddler, can't remember his name right off my top of my head.
Napoleon.
Yeah, Nappy Napoleon. We had him on our show on a cover 2 years ago,
and
just learning about paddling. And his wife was a big time surfer, but he's caring for her now. And so we're all aging, and it's interesting. But I wanted to kind of talk about technology. When I heard that you're doing technology, doing Zoom, I'm like, wow, you're 77 years old and doing Zoom?
Well,
who are you?
But that's not anything that's difficult for me. Because remember, when I started with United, I was a computer programmer.
Oh.
Yeah, and even in those days, back in, I guess it was 68, 69, my husband was working for Hawaiian Till. He was in a marketing, is that what he was? Marketing division. Mm-hmm. And so if you worked for IBM or Apple in this case, they would bring it to him and say, see what you can do with this. He brought it home. So this is quite early in the business. Nobody even knew. This is Apple Box, you know?
Right, right.
And you had disk you had to put in.
Oh, yeah, disk. And the screen was, it's amazing how small that screen was, yeah?
Oh, well, you know what? It took off. I took off on that right away because I left San Francisco. And now I'm here in Honolulu. And, well, I was using McPain and McWright and drawing pictures, you know, and all these pixels. I mean, it was just really great. In fact, that's why I did this book myself. I mean, all
you made
these
it yourself?
Pictures. Oh, yeah, I did everything.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I mean, and that was natural. Too easy.
You
know, it was too easy. All you had to do, you know, when they said you could correct something, mm-hmm. I said, wow,
I know.
Big time.
I know.
And now it's nothing. You just do this thing on your telephone. You know?
Yeah.
Well, technology has just come, you know, generations. I mean, just look, when I was working for United, and I just started, nobody even knew what data processing tabs, you know, we would sort out cards and keep punching. That was just so beginning.
Revolutionary, yeah, for any business,
and you look
actually.
At now, and if I say key punch, they go, I never heard of that before.
I know, it's so true. I was actually one of the first people to have a laptop in the mortgage industry in 1988.
That's
true. And the only reason why I had to get a laptop because I had terrible handwriting.
I see.
So, you know, when I would fill out the loan application, they couldn't read my handwriting. So my boss said, just get a laptop. You can type it in. So my processor, Jill, said, just get a laptop. You can do it that way. And it did. I'm very tech savvy today. I'm pretty much paperless today. I don't do carry a lot of paper at all. And they give me documents, notice, email to me.
Save a tree.
So you just embrace technology. You weren't afraid of it or anything? That's what I hear a lot of seniors go, oh, no, 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 no.
Yes, yes. And I kind of developed my own little posse of young people saying, you know, you go to Auntie Laura's house and you you know, get the apps, put it in, you know, show them how to use it, you know. And some of the kids are very patient, and then some of them, and they don't want to be involved because they cannot, they don't have the patience for kupunas. But I'm a kupuna. I mean, really, I mean, I'm older than some of my kupunas. and I want them to strive. And, you know, I did hold classes for my, I bought them all laptops on my own.
You did?
I got 7 laptops, and I even, I didn't pay for them. They eventually, they paid me back, you know, because they knew it wasn't free. But I ordered it online and got a good price. And for a while, they were doing email and everything. And
it's actually, you know, when I look back at it, it's actually pretty easy. But I think there's so much fear factor. You know, Carol Kai does a great summer program for, I don't know about this with the pandemic, but she does the computer classes during the summer. And they teach a lot of kupuna. But I just, you know, like my father's been very involved in technology. He's 92. I mean, if you remember back in the early 2000, the Palm Pilot, it was like one of the first, it was not a phone, but it kept little data in the calendar and documents, things like that. And he had one before I did. In fact, my brother, my older brother, the senator, gave me one for Christmas. And this has got to be at least 10 years ago. And literally, I kept it for a year before I ever used it. On December 30th, the following year, I had it on my table. And it's like, this must be something to this. So I picked it up and started playing with it that night. One day later, January 1st or 2nd, I'm going, wow, this is fantastic. But it was a fear of mine not having my paper notebook and not having my date book. For a year, I had that. And I did within a day, like, wow, this is almost as good as a fax machine. The fax machine, we had a fax machine in a mortgage finance business in 1988, 87. And,
yeah,
you know,
fax
machines. You know, 90, we had to go down the longs and get the paper because we ran out of paper. You know, that was a crazy time. But look at it today. But Zoom is so great, isn't it?
You know, Robin has this legal classes. They're just kids, 3-4 years old. And then I watch all the time. I don't say anything. I'm just a ghost, you know. And this little girl says, Auntie Robin. And it's cute. They're really cute. They're jumping on the couches, and she goes, good job. And I go, Robin. <You know? laughs> But she just wants it to be fun. Uh-huh. I mean, and she has the same, you know, we pass on the baton, and she's not going to yell at them or demand. You never demand. And then they want to do it for you.
Yeah.
You know, but this girl goes, the mother came by and said something on the air, Auntie Robin, can you text me?
And you do text. I got to admit, you do text. In fact, the first time I talked to you, when we talked about a cover story, he said, okay, call me back, or just text me later on. I'm like, who is this lady? Tell me, 77, you tell me to text her.
You really?
Text? You, yeah.
Is that
I don't know
unusual?
I wouldn't say unusual. I know some young 70s, like 71, 72, that still texts and talks to me. But 77, good for you.
Yeah. Good no, it's really fast. You're talking about handwriting and how bad your handwriting was. If I say this and somebody's listening, they'll be upset. But even I have a person who's about 50, and his writing was so bad, I can't even relate. Now, I did all the diplomas in 1961, 62 for McKinley, Farrington, and Roosevelt.
You wrote it?
One by one.
Wow,
we didn't
you
even
must
have
really
a printer.
Good handwriting.
You know, and then when I got my paint on my McWrite, I thought, oh, this is cheating. They don't even there's every font here. I'm going to be like jobless. But I got paid $3 for every diploma. And my dad was so proud of me. He would say, hey, my Carol Lee, you know, she prints the diplomas.
And back then, he probably had, what, 500 or 600 graduates per year?
540 for Roosevelt.
Wow.
But I knew early, so we even printed it for somebody who made F's or something because we'd destroy it, but I couldn't
you
start
didn't graduate.
Later. But my mom and I worked it together.
Let me ask you this, Carol. If somebody wants to join your group, can they still to this day?
Well, we shouldn't say this, but yeah, anybody can join. We don't even have any sign up. You just call Robin and just tell her your name and your number and your birth date.
Oh, really?
And it's free. That's the bad part, because if you, you know, when you say that, everybody, yeah, but
well, yeah. Have them, if you're listening, if you have friends, just email me, Percy, at generations808.com. And I don't want to give out Robin's number right now, but I can contact Robin or email her if you're interested. But we have to finish up the show. But give us one tip on what you're doing, what you want people to do, what keeps you going in life.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have a group in Japan every third Saturday, so once a month. I don't think I could do too much more because there's a lot of work involved in, and I have to have an interpreter.
Oh, yes,
although I
yes.
speak Japanese, I don't know if it's good enough. So I remember telling my friend, Ty, I said, how do you say popular in Japanese? Because I want to tell them the most popular chords or the families. First is C, then it's F, then it's G, then D, then A. And I said, how do you say it? He goes, popular. I go, well, thanks a lot. You're not any help. But they have a lot of Japanese words now that are just a takeoff of English. So her grandfather was my first Japanese school teacher.
Oh, really?
Not school teacher, but Japanese language teacher in Berkeley in California, because I was living up there.
Oh.
Yeah. And Ron had gone off to Vietnam. And that's when I started speaking Japanese.
Okay, so last tip or comment about what keeps you going, what you want other people to know about your story?
You know, because I was with United and then we weren't allowed to be, I think kindness, no matter whether you know people or you don't know people. If somebody says hello, you don't just say, I don't know who they are. just go on with them, because you never know what's in the minds of people and how you can connect, you know. But don't ever find anything negative. Anything that people say in a negative way, you can always turn it around. You can turn it around, and that's what the airlines taught me.
Well, great tip. Carol Lee, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Great story. I loved your photo with you and your daughter in the magazine. But don't forget generations808.com. You can check out our April May issue and this radio show here on 101.1 FM, so the oldies channel. So thank you very much, Kelly.
Yes,
have a great weekend. Say hello to Robin for me and the family. GC, thank you very much. As always, everybody, aloha and live well.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
5-night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.